station, Adventist Reflections.
Hello, citizens. This is Adventist Reflections, an interpersonal commentary where present biblical truth meets psychological reasoning. Now, to discuss character building ideas, here is your host, Dr. Dean.
Hi, family. Welcome back to the Adventist Reflections podcast. Today, I would like to send greetings to my friends from the West Coast in the United States, specifically in California, who faithfully listen to this, your podcast. I am thankful once again for our not so much anonymous anymore pianist for producing the music we listen today in the background. Today's reflections are about words of counsel given to families. However, our Sabbath School Quarterly focuses on a broad spectrum of things, and whilst I would love to have the opportunity to cover them all, I will keep you here for so much longer than necessary. So instead, we will focus on the one aspect that has an effect on the millennial life. Yes, family, today we will reflect on the idea of sex. If you follow us on our social media, particularly on Instagram, you will have seen that I warned that this episode will be about sex, reflections on sex. So, how do we handle the idea of seeking God, exercising purity, and still speaking about this seemingly X-rated topic in Adventism, and we could even argue in Christianity in general? It was a Wednesday evening. This will be perhaps my first respectable ultra-marathon run. 110 kilometers of excitement, sweat, pain, and joy, all combined in 12 hours of non-stop running. For my American friends, this will be probably about 80 miles or so run. As I prepare for this run, one of the most important things to look into is fueling, nutrition, during your run. So I had due diligence. I prepare my nutrition schedule for during the race. I calculated the intervals to my calorie and fluid intake ratios, and I found the best deal I could get online for to buy my energy gels. As I organized myself, I read the instructions to use the gels and the amount of calories recommended to take per hour. Now, this is not the first time I consume these gels. I have been running marathons for a little bit, but not to this level. So I read the instructions and I follow all the instructions, but one. The instruction where it said not to consume this with other glucose-filled supplements. So, after kilometer 50, or maybe mile 30, maybe 28, I was nauseous. My stomach was so revolted that I felt the need to throw up. Have you ever tried to throw up on an empty stomach? I'm not sure if this is obvious enough, but this oversight to follow the instructions of the maker of the gels, of the manufacturer, contributed to my failure to finish this race timely. You see, following the instructions of the one who manufactured the gel was important. And so it is important to follow the instructions of our maker. So, let us explore three aspects related to sex. The first aspect I would like to point out is that we must, first and foremost, remember where sexual intimacy comes from. The Bible says that God made men and women and He asked them to go forth to procreate. I think we all know this story as found in Genesis. So why is it that we forget that sexual intimacy was invented by God? So point number one, let us remember the Creator, the inventor of sexual intercourse. This goes back to the original idea that we have been discussing in the previous reflections on this series, where we have established that in order for us to have fulfilled lives, we must first seek God and His kingdom. So yes, if you seek God first and His kingdom, you too can have the most amazing sexual experience you will ever have in your life. Once we remember this, we then must remember that if God created this aspect of our lives, He also created it to be pleasurable. Many a times we have our own traumas, personal inhibitions, and insecurities that unfortunately taint the idea of enjoying sex. I won't enter into the intricacies of the sexual act as such, because I will hate to think that I am instigating those of you who are not yet married to let your imagination wander. I don't want that. But let us remember that God, the creator of sex, made it the way He purposed it to be, that is, a pleasurable act of intimacy between a man and a woman according to the Bible. If you are a married man or woman and your sexual experience has not been satisfactory because of those traumas, inhibitions, insecurities, or maybe even addictions, I invite you to consider 1. Seeking God first, and 2. Find professional help from some Christian-based counseling. I can guarantee that it will go miles away and you can get restored back to how God purposed your sexual experience in your marriage to be. We talked about this idea of seeking help in the last week's episode when we discussed the idea of change. Why not go back to check it out after this episode? So, 1 is, God is the creator of sex. 2, sex is a pleasurable activity because God intended it the way it is for us to enjoy. And now, 3, sex has instructions for engagement that we should not disregard. Think about it. God created it. God made it pleasurable. So it would make sense that He knows what will be the best for us to follow. Otherwise, if you are like me and went to try the gels with everything else, you'll feel like vomit one day. What I am sharing today is that God left a manual, a set of instructions, and as we follow the manual, the possibilities of success are imminent if we so follow. The manual says that God designed sex to be held within the boundaries of marriage. Genesis 2:24 says, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Paul in the Bible even encourages sexual intercourse as far as this takes place within the marriage. He says, "Do not deprive one another except maybe by agreement for very limited time so that you can devote yourself to prayer, but then come back together so that Satan doesn't tempt you because of your lack of self-control." Paul knew that if we in a marriage relationship separate ourselves from each other and don't have sexual intercourse, we can fall into temptations. So here, there are 2 things worth mentioning. 1, those of you who are married, please consider one another and listen to the counsel. Do not let your spouse open to temptations of seeking the sexual fulfillment in other people but yourself. Also, if you are thinking of excusing yourself to find fulfillment outside your marriage, remember that there is no excuse to sin against your maker and your spouse for that matter. And 2, those of you who are single, flee away from the temptation of sexual intercourse. And let me say something here. This temptation, it starts as something innocent. It starts like an innocent relationship where the more time you spend together with someone, the more you feel an attraction to that person, and at some point, sex becomes something naturally irresistible. You see, sexual intercourse is an intimate act. You could say that this is the culmination of an act where a man and a woman get to know each other like no one else will ever know. That is why the Bible refers to sexual intercourse saying that Adam knew his wife, or refers to husband and wife becoming one. So, the instructions for engagement by the creator of sex are simple. Sexual intercourse is to take place only within the married life and only between the one husband and the one wife, and it is imperative that you run away from the temptation. Coming back to those who are not yet married, this might be a harsh instruction for engagement, particularly if you are currently engaging in sexual interactions and think that there is nothing wrong with it. My Adventist Reflections family, our Creator knew what he was doing when he desired you to listen to his instructions. You can listen to his instructions, or you can be like me and disregard the one important instructions to joyfully finish the race. Today, the world demands you to believe the idea that you must try before you buy it. This concept has brought many sexual interactions prior to marriage and has taken away from this the glorious bliss of satisfaction in the sexual relationships that we have with our spouses in the future. Think about the logic of it. Why would anyone have a honeymoon when you have already experienced all that God reserved for their married life? Today, we have a vast amount of evidence indicating that sex prior to marriage lead to a lesser satisfactory married life in the future. In fact, when we have sex outside of marriage, this increases the likelihood of a less stable marriage and the odds for divorce increase. Our Maker, our Creator, knew that we needed to have certain rules to ensure that we have better fulfilled lives. Every sexual intercourse outside of marriage takes away what you can experience with your future spouse. You see, every time you engage in experiences outside of what God intended for you, God who made you and designed you to be a sexual being, you are chipping away a little piece of your heart. A little piece that no boyfriend, no girlfriend, no fiancé, no husband and no wife will ever be able to bring back to you. The giver of the manual knew what he was talking about, don't you think? After all, God says that he wants you to live a life that is fulfilled, and you better believe it that when he says this, this includes your relational and sexual satisfaction. My beloved Adventist family, perhaps by the grace of God and your good choosing, you have maintained yourself in purity up until now. I invite you to continue to do so, and whenever temptation arises, cut them off, and in due time, you will be rewarded. However, perhaps you are one of those who, like me, fell into sexual immorality before marriage, going against the instruction of the Maker, just for you to realize later on that the person with whom you were was not going to be your spouse at all. Or you are just falling into the pleasures of sexual immorality because you find it pleasurable and like an addiction. My friends, be not mistaken. These memories will chase you for the rest of your life and will disallow you to be satisfied unless you surrender this to Christ. God today is calling you to reflect on this idea of sexual purity. The moment you accept Christ, He restores you. He embraces you as if you have never sinned. He can heal your emotional wounds, and He promises to carry you to have a fulfilled life now and to live a blissful experience with the one who will become your spouse one day. Perhaps you have violated your marriage vows. My friend, the same things go to you. He can make you pure again and restore you back to your husband or your wife. Do not let the devil guilt trip you. Do not let him to tell you that you are too far into this relationship, that you cannot accept being restored in Christ. In 1 John 1:9 and James 5:16, God says that if you confess and move away from your sins, He will take away your sins. He says that your scars and wounds will be healed. So remember, to keep sexual purity, we are to remind ourselves that God created sex. He made it pleasurable. And we must maintain its purity within the married life alone. As we conclude, remember, you have not gone so far away that you cannot come back to God, who can re-establish your purity today. Are there any practical things that you do to stay away from the temptations of biblical sexual immorality? Why don't you share them with the Adventist Reflections family? Follow us on Facebook and Instagram as Adventist Reflections. This is Dr. Danzy, and you listen to the Adventist Reflections podcast, your podcast. As I farewell you, I continue to choose to love God, my Creator. What about you? Remember to subscribe to this podcast, like it, share it, hashtag it, comment, and find us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and Tumblr as Adventist Reflections. God bless you.